Now we have our second batch of news items. Do you remember the Battle of Argyle Street? New houses are soon to be built on this site, but we will start with some other stories about buildings and solidarity being displayed to campaigners against ticket office closures. Tenants of a city apartment block have finally been cleared to move back in more than a year after being made to leave due to safety fears. Droves of shocked tenants were abruptly evacuated from St Peter's House in Cattle Market Street in April 2022 after the building was deemed unsafe. The site, which is privately owned by Cattle Market Street Limited, was found to have serious hazards and deficiencies, with no mains power and multiple fault lights on the fire alarm panel at the time of evacuation. The building had been closed off for safety improvements for the last year, with leaseholders beginning to grow frustrated over both the length of time and works being carried out without their permission. But now tenants have finally been cleared by the City Council to move back into the former Aviva office block.
Chantry Place has revealed when House of Fraser will reopen, featuring a fresh look and a host of new brands. The department store announced in December that it would be closing for a short period, but did not confirm how long it would be keeping its doors shut. But Chantry Place has now confirmed the shopping giant will reopen as Fraser's on September the 18th, following extensive renovation work. The new name comes as owner Mike Ashley continues to rebrand House of Fraser's across the UK, with seven stores across the UK set to be added to the mini chain of luxury stores. Fashion brand USC, which is owned by the Fraser's Group, will take over the first floor of the store in a move, owners hope, will entice younger shoppers. A new Evans Cycles shop will open on the second floor alongside Games and Sports Direct, which will close its current location in the shopping centre next month. Chantry Place has seen lots of change in the last year with the opening of Urban Outfitters, Moda in Pelle and Lisa Angel.
With drivers beeping horns in solidarity and passers-by stopping to discuss changes to railway services, campaigners are hopeful that their cause is gaining traction. A number of protesters from disabled support groups and unions turned out in front of Norwich train station on Wednesday to protest against the closure of at least 1,000 ticket offices around the country. The shake-up comes as rail firms say passenger numbers stand at their lowest since 2002 and revenue lies 30% below pre-COVID levels. Dave Welsh, convener for Norfolk for the Nationalisation of Rail, said, "I've been outside the station many times protesting and I've never known the level of public anger and dissatisfaction like this. It's touched a chord with people, old and young. People are starting to see that the services are being dehumanised, and where will that leave us in the long run? I think it will be a really difficult situation. It gives us a platform to talk about public ownership and how you need to have people around to help on the railways, assisting people who may need help with their journeys." The protests come amid news that consultation talks, which initially finished on July the 26th, could be extended after claims that the 21-day consultation was too short and discriminatory against disabled people, who say they've been completely ignored. One disabled commuter, Mick Hardy, said, "I hope the protests will force a U-turn in the decision to get rid of the ticket offices."
A historic Norwich venue will provide the backdrop for a new concept market later this year. The Lookout Illustration Fair is coming to the Cloisters at the Halls in St Andrew's Plain on Saturday, September the 30th, 2023, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. After several years without hosting any markets, the Cloisters will reopen its doors to more than 40 artists. The event promises an immersive journey into the world of illustration, with live drawing and other demonstrations throughout the day from stallholders. There will be a mix of paintings, drawings, prints, and ceramics available to buy from the makers. Visitors can also have their portraits drawn by guest artist Lucia Vinti in the crypt. Jodie Howard, artist and event organiser, said, "We're so excited to bring this unique market to the heart of Norwich."
The demolition of a city centre office block could begin next month, officials have revealed. Victoria House in Queen's Road, which was once home to the Marsh and Sedgwick insurance companies, has stood empty since the start of last year. However, developers announced plans to redevelop the site in June. Norwich City Council officials have now revealed they hope to reach a decision on plans by the end of the month. It is understood the council has no power to stop the demolition, but can make changes to the way work takes place. It comes after plans were heavily criticised by public commenters who were concerned about the potential environmental damage caused by the work. The site has a vibrant past, having previously been the site of the Norwich Victoria Station and hosting Pablo Funke's circus during the 1800s. Marsh have now moved to the Broadland Business Park after more than 50 years at the site.
People living in an estate on the edge of the city are demanding answers as the wait for a supermarket to open goes on. Co-op had been due to open a store in Queen's Hills in Cossey in the autumn of 2021, as work on the unit was well underway. Other units have moved in to the Field Fairway site, but Co-op is still to open, despite around 5,000 people living in the estate, where nearly 2,000 homes have been built since 2006. There are nearby supermarkets with both a Sainsbury's and a newly opened Aldi in Longwater Retail Park, but the Co-op would be the first on the estate. District Councillor Gary Blundell said, "The unopened Co-op store stands as a promise of unity and shared resources within the housing estate. Its potential to provide affordable goods, local products, and a platform for community engagement is vital. Some people living in the area believe that the Co-op are no longer taking on the building and that other supermarkets have expressed an interest in moving in. The store, near Queen's Hill Primary School, is part of a bigger development made up of three other smaller units, two of which are currently filled by Think Property and Rumble's Fish and Chip Shop, with a car park for more than 30 vehicles.
New houses will be built on the site of Britain's longest-running squat after properties were demolished 8 years ago. Norwich City Council has given plans to build 14 properties in Argyle Street off King Street, the green light. While today the area is peaceful, in the 1980s, squatters were forcibly removed for the redevelopment of the site in what became known as the Battle of Argyle Street. A community occupied the site from the late 1970s until 1985, with around 120 people living there at one stage. Council bosses have wanted to build on the site for some time after the homes from the 1985 redevelopment were knocked down. Ahead of planning committee meetings to discuss the plans, nine locals wrote to the authority to object to the scheme. Concerns included whether the site was too dense, that it could be a haven for wildlife instead, and whether the land was suitable for building on. Councillors unanimously approved the plans. Liberal Democrat Judith Lubbock in Set said, "I think it's a great opportunity for us to see 14 properties built. It's been a long time coming. It ticks so many boxes. It's an area close to the city centre, transport facilities and surrounded by open space."
This is not the first time Argyle Street has made headlines. In the 1980s, it was home to Britain's longest-running squat and became known as the Republic of Argyle Street. The story of the squat is one described by some as a journey from a dream cooperative to a ghetto. The community moved onto the site in December 1979 after plans by the University of East Anglia to build student homes fell through. After the squatters were evicted, the original homes were torn down in 1985 and new properties were built. Many of the properties only lasted 30 years before being knocked down, with some boarded up for 6 years before demolition. The council had moved its tenants out of some of its properties, 16 flats and 3 bungalows, in 2009, after tests showed the buildings were at risk of subsidence, with cracks appearing in some of them. Tenants who were moved out were eligible for home loss payments of around £5,000 to £6,000.